Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is Wellness Wednesday, and this is the Elder Care Radio program. We are excited to be here this morning talking to the community about things that we hope they find interesting and useful in their lives. It's been an interesting week for us, and man, the weather's starting to warm up, isn't it, Andy?
Just a bit.
Like nice one... haircut, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't seen him on radio yet, he just got a haircut.
Yeah, you can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's warm, and I guess now most of the country's opening up, so travel's available. But I'm still thinking, you know, with so many things to do around here, there's not a lot of reason to leave Southern Utah.
That's true. Beautiful landscapes of Southern Utah, lots of hiking and just... beauty all around.
Or just places to go where you don't have to do any walking. You just sit and look. There's, you know, gardens and things to be at. And it's just, you know, it's great here. We really appreciate and love this community.
Sounds like my house. She wants to go hiking. He wants to sit and watch things.
Unfortunately, yeah. You can both have your way.
Yeah, so maybe we should get together.
Yeah, we should. Hey, honey, you guys have fun. We're going to watch the ball game.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Well, we've recently started doing free health care assessments for our seniors at the Senior Center in both St. George, which is the Activity Leisure Center,
The Active Life Center.
Active Life Center, as well as in Hurricane. And recently we've had a lot of questions about, so what brought you to Southern Utah and what made you start Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care in Southern Utah? And they mean besides so that we could do this radio show.
That's right. It's interesting how many people don't yet know, even though we've been doing this a little over a year now and talking to people. I guess there are a few people in this community that haven't heard this radio program.
Right.
And so but we know that listenership's growing, so we wanted to kind of cover that. So we've had... I guess what drove us to be involved in hospice was, you know, our own personal experiences. We had a couple of them, and they were so absolutely different. You know, our first experience was with my mother-in-law. And my wife tells the story better than I do, so she's going to jump in here at a moment and say that I need to change it. But
I don't.
So my mother-in-law was... finally diagnosed with end-stage lung cancer and it had metastasized.
Okay, I'm going to correct
you. Okay, go ahead.
So my parents lived in Santa Clara for quite some time. And we had a young family and business in Las Vegas. And when my mom got sick, we actually didn't think that she had a terminal illness. We just thought she was having a hard time overcoming bronchitis. But she was requiring a lot more help. It was hard for my dad to take care of her. So with a young family and a family business, we thought we'd be able to spend more time and provide more help if she came to live with us. So we brought my parents down to Las Vegas to live with us so that we could help care for them. While there, that's when she was diagnosed with cancer. And that was a surprise to us. And actually, they told us that... they caught it very late stage. It had already metastasized to her liver, her lymph nodes, and her brain. So they told us that every day she would be there was a gift. And they sent the hospice and palliative care company over to our home.
And we didn't know what hospice was. I mean, no. This was really our first introduction. I think there are many people that, you know, their first introduction is not a pleasant one to the idea of the word hospice. Because it comes right after some really bad news.
But what I think the big point in that is we often don't hear about hospice and palliative care until the very end. Mm-hmm. And that's really a shame because really it's provided much longer than that. It's provided so that you have, as family members have, like we did, much longer to just spend time loving your loved one instead of being burdened down with the day-to-day activities of daily living that is required to take care of your ailing member of your family or, you know, household. So it's intended to be a longer program that should help lighten the load and burdens, but it's often not given to you or provided to you until the very, very end. But in our experience, we didn't expect it to last very long. And because of a very robust palliative program in Las Vegas, my mother's life was definitely extended.
Well, and by not very long, when my mother-in-law and my wife were in the doctor's office and the doctor said, every day is a gift. She should already be dead. That's the kind of time frame that we're talking about.
Yeah, he was pretty abrupt. It was shocking.
Yeah, because she had been suffering with this for quite some time, and it had done a lot of damage in her system. And so that was the part that, you know, was kind of surprising. But it was actually a great experience. The hospice company came in, and instead of just, as many of us might have, you know, expected, said, well, these are the things we're going to do. They started asking questions. They started saying, so what is it you want to do? What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? How do you want to proceed with this? And they just left it open for all of the options that we considered. And we were surprised by some of the things that my mother-in-law wanted to do. We had no idea what that was, but the hospice company said, yeah, we can help support that and see what we can do to provide some care there. And so they did.
She was very holistic. So she wanted to try some very non-traditional things. And we had no idea how to find those resources. But the company brought us together with all the resources. And she ended up living far, far longer than expected. In fact, she lived 5 months and 5 days, which was more than we could have imagined after what the doctors had said to us. But it truly was a gift. We had the opportunity to have family come all the way from England. We had a brother that had been away from the family for quite some time, have an opportunity to, you know, come back into town and be a part of my mom's life and bring all of his kids in. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful experience. And we say that kind of in a summary because that's what our first introduction to hospice was. And then you jump forward a number of years later, and our family had grown somewhat. The internet had changed and become, you know, far more expansive. My dad was still living up here, and he needed help. And so we decided we would move our family up to St. George. We loved St. George. We'd been here, you know, had a lot of family here, and we had spent many, many, you know, days and weeks here, and decided, oh, we'll move our family up there and help take care of my dad.
And we took that as an indicator that we should, you know, we should make this change in our lives. There were other things that were going on, and we just felt that it was the right time to do that. And so we did. We came up here with the intent of caring for him and implementing hospice when that was appropriate. And he was in a rehab facility after surgery. And they had determined that the surgery that he had wasn't enough, and they wanted to do more. They'd amputated a part of his foot, and they wanted to amputate his leg up to his knee, and that would have left him, you know, bedbound and unable to care for himself.
Really dependent.
Yeah.
Really dependent.
Ultimately dependent. And that wasn't what he wanted. And so that was, you know, part of this whole plan. So we had bought a house and scheduled to move in on July 1st and have him come stay with us. And then we would, you know, look at our options and see where we're going from there. But in our research, we had talked to the doctors at the facility about hospice, and they had originally said, "Whoa, man, it's probably a little early for that." It'd be something to consider. And then, as he's about ready to get out, as we're ready to move up here, my wife goes and visits him on, you know, one day, doesn't visit for a day and comes back on the second day, and somehow he had ended up on hospice, and there was such a dramatic change that the day after he started hospice, he was just drugged up. Couldn't speak. Couldn't, you know, he was completely out when she arrived, and we didn't know why. And so we started, you know, asking questions, and
the defensive explanation is, I believe that the hospice company came in and a nurse looked at his profile and said, wow, he had a partial amputation. They amputated his toes, and the doctors had offered to amputate up to his knee to ensure that all the infection was taken. And he didn't want that. He must be in a lot of pain, having, you know, an amputation and needing another one. He must be in severe pain. So the plan of care that was written without a discussion with my family, without any input at all, really without any input of my father, was that they would implement a pain management regimen with heavy doses of medication. When I came up to see him, he was so heavily medicated that we had a really difficult time waking him up. I tried to figure out what was going on. It took me, all day to arouse him and to speak with people to find out why he was so medicated. I got very indirect answers that, you know, he must have had a bad night last night, or there must have been some indication that he was in pain, but he had neuropathy and he couldn't even feel his toes. He certainly wasn't in pain. Mm-hmm. When we had seen him 2 days before, he wasn't in any pain at all. We had been walking around the valley and just enjoying our, you know, time together. And in any case, later that night, the doctor came around and told me to come back the next day and talk to the hospice administrator and see if we could, you know, change his plan of care. But unfortunately, I left at 10:30 at night, and they called me at 2:30 in the morning and said after he had another dose of medication, his heart stopped and he passed away. And it was devastating because that was not the way that we expected it to play out.
That was our second hospice experience, and it was so absolutely different. And as we've talked to people in the community, other people have experienced those same things, and that was the impetus for us to say, okay, so this has to change. It's wrong. You know, there are so much that can be done. And if we aren't willing to look at options to make for a better life, not just make for a smooth passing. And I don't want to make that too dark. It seems that many times hospices get conditioned to, well, we're just trying to make it a smooth passing. And
I think it's important to understand that there may be a time that that's appropriate, but that's not the hospice company or nurse's decision. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, that should be in collaboration with the patient themselves and the patient family, so that the family can digest and take to heart, you know, what's happening. In my dad's case, he was nowhere near that. He should not have at all been taking pain medications, because again, he wasn't in any pain, and we had plans. My family was coming up to spend time with him, so it just wasn't, the choices were taken out of our hands, and I think that's what was most painful and caused us so much regret, trying to figure out, you know, what went wrong. And so when we were kind of trying to investigate what happened, where were the nurses that were supposed to have a meeting with us and ask us what our plans were and offer services to us and all those things that we expected because of our experience with my mom? When we didn't find those things, what we discovered is that hospice wasn't used the same way here as it was in Las Vegas, Nevada. They didn't have a really healthy palliative care program, and we decided in a town like this with so many seniors, that's a shame. We're not going to let that go on. Mm-hmm. So we brought the Medicare's palliative program here to Southern Utah. 43 other states have a really good palliative care program. Sadly, Utah did not, and now it does. And here we are. That's why we're here.
And we believe that hospice should really be considered a great benefit, not something to be feared. And that's the problem, is that as people have had, you know, some experience, they may see a hospice as just scary and a fearful thing. But if you understand what it is and it's intended to make life worth living and better, you know, life just better, if we are able to do that, because there isn't much that we can do about possibly passing away, but we can do everything about living our best life throughout that. It's been shown, study after study, that the difference between somebody being on hospice and not being on hospice is that their days are longer and that they enjoy those days more. There's one study that was very specific, and they looked at people who were expected to be on hospice for a very short time, and by that I mean just a few days, and hospice added a 44% increase in life expectancy. And for those that should have been or were on hospice with a longer expectancy of a few months, there was an overall 25% increase of life expectancy just by having good hospice care. And that means, for us, that means care that goes beyond just dealing with the symptoms of the problem or dealing with, you know, the issues, but trying to remove a lot of the stresses and anxieties that people are suffering, and not just the patient, but the family. And so if we can bring that in and allow people to have a better experience because they're not so overwhelmed with just the day-to-day tedium of care, you know, for a 75-year-old couple, when one of the spouses no longer can manage their own daily tasks and the other one has to take those on along with their own, it is absolutely overwhelming. So if we can come in and take care of many of the things that a hospice patient may need, so that the spouse, the wife or the husband, is able to spend more time and be better prepared to look for things to enjoy, much better off.
There are definitely studies that show, and you can look it up, that families who use a healthy palliative program live longer. And it's important to understand, this is focusing on life, a higher quality of life, living your best life and enjoying your time on this earth. And isn't that what we should all be doing?
Yeah. And another key point that I think should be made is that it's not just about more days. It's about making those days more full and more enjoyable. And that's really, you know, what we are trying to focus on the hospice side, is bringing as much joy and love and great things into those days for the patient and the family, so that those are memories that are enjoyable and things to look back on and be happy about.
So our own experiences told us that, you know, we wanted things to be different for others. We have constantly seen time and time again where this exact experience has played out through our own patients that we've had on our program, where, you know, doctors had told them that they were at the very, very end of care and their life was literally extended by months because they were living a much higher quality of life and their loved ones had time to spend just loving them and serving them and enjoying their time.
And finding moments of joy to cherish and appreciate. We had a patient who was suffering from advanced Alzheimer's, and her husband had been so involved in all of her care. She was at the point where she couldn't bathe herself or dress herself or do other things like that. But if she wasn't given food, she wouldn't eat. And so he was taking on all of that responsibility. He had a number of medical conditions himself. And when we were finally introduced and he finally found out that service and help might be available and we talked to him, his only goal was, I need to live longer than my wife because I need to take care of her. That was his only expectation. And so he was just putting himself at risk. And so we were able to come in and relieve him of many of those daily duties that he didn't have to do all the time, so that he could recover for himself and he could get some medical care that he needed. And he was able to find time to, you know, because it's important that we have time to ourselves and regenerate and recover from those things. And why don't you tell the story? It was an interesting and heartwarming story. And these are the things that allow us to enjoy what we do.
That's right. So what ended up happening is, you should understand that we have a staff and crew that is incredible. We don't just hire the first person applying. We can go through, you know, 10 or 12 to find the exact perfect nurse or CNA that fits what we're looking for, somebody who's truly going to serve the patients they serve. And the service is more about the family's needs than our own. And we have the best staff. We really do. But in this instance, the CNA was there. And in the past, the husband had a really hard time getting her to shower. As Richard said, she had Alzheimer's and she would fight and argue. But our CNA had was able to build a relationship with her of trust. And she always willingly jumped into the shower, and she loved to have her hair done. So She jumps out of the shower, and our CNA is blowing her hair dry and curling her hair and even helping her put on a little makeup so she feels good about herself. And that's exactly what she was looking for. And she popped up out of the chair, and she gave her husband a big hug with her arms tightly around his neck. And she said, "I love you." And he had not had that kind of reaction from her for quite some time. And he turned to our CNA, and there were tears in his eyes, and he said, "This is who I miss. This is the wife that I miss and I so long for."
You know, so those are the things that make this important. And if we can
make it fun for us.
Fun for us. But the important part of what our goal is and what we're trying to accomplish is giving people a better life in the end. And we know that living a better life and having, you know, taking away the anxieties and other things can drastically improve the outcome. We had a patient who really had a relatively short time expectation. She had she had a debilitating lung disease, and the doctors had said that, you know, we're looking at just a couple of months. And when we went in to talk to her, one of the things that was so worrisome for her and caused her so much anxiety was her husband. And we were able to help him prove to her that he was going to be okay, independent and okay. And that relieved so much anxiety. And they had opportunities to share and spend time together just laughing and having a good time, that she didn't need the medications that would have normally been prescribed. She didn't need anti-anxiety medications or things that would put her to sleep. And she lived over 6 months, far longer than the expectation, in part because of the medications, but in part because she was enjoying that life and wanted to continue to live it. And there is nothing more important than our own will to live when it comes to making those decisions.
Again, if and when pain management is appropriate, it is provided. It's just up to the family, not us. We don't come in right and start a protocol. You are a part of every decision. Our time is running really short. We haven't given our number, and we haven't invited our friends to the senior centers.
Okay, so you know the drill. We're doing the senior center on Thursday in St. George from 9 to 11, and we will be there doing blood glucose and blood pressure and blood ox, pulse ox testing, and we'll keep track of that for you so that you can share that with your doctor if you want. And in Hurricane, we'll do that on Monday, 11 to 12. And so come out and see us. We'd like to see you there. We also would like you to call us if you know somebody or you yourself have needs, whether you think you're hospice eligible or not, doesn't matter. Any needs, anything that would help you throughout the day, because there are resources available that we will share with you. We do that for free. We just want the community to be better informed.
Know in advance what's available. Know the resources that are available to you far in advance. So if you have any questions or you want to know a little more or to find out if there's any help that could be provided for you or a loved one, give our office a call.
And that number is 435-477-6999. Again, on the left-hand side, 477, and on the right-hand side, 6999. You should probably never forget that. And we answer that phone 24/7. Any time that you feel that you need to talk to somebody, give us a call. If there's a need that you have, if you can't get to the doctor, we will try and do what we can to help you in anything. Because this is Elder Care Radio, and we care about our elderly community, and we want to provide the resources that are available to them and make sure that everybody's getting as much help as they could possibly get. Go ahead. You take the...
No, I was just going to say, we look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the Adult Activity Leisure Center, the Senior Center in
at the Active Life Center.
That's right. Why can I not say that?
I don't know.
But off of Diagonal Street, come see us tomorrow.
Right downtown. It's that big brick building.
That's right.
It's a lovely building inside and out. Come see us. They have a lot of activities that you can sign up for. And if you are not a member there, don't worry. You can still come see us. Don't think you have to have signed up already. We would love to see you.
See you tomorrow.